What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 145. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about extended versus intermittent infusion of piperacillin tazobactam in critically ill patients, answer the drug information question, how should a naloxone infusion be weaned, and share a resource for researching toxicology concerns with medications. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode145. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. One of the best parts of hosting this podcast is connecting with hundreds of great pharmacists. Many of them have told me they want practical, critical care pharmacy education intended for practicing pharmacists. They want complex topics broken down into simple to remember and easy to apply concepts. They want skills they can apply at the bedside, not academic theory. And that's one of the reasons I've opened Pharmacy Joe's Critical Care Pharmacy Academy. Every month in the Academy, I publish a skill-based masterclass where I take about an hour to dive deep into a practical critical care skill. The masterclasses are self-paced and broken up into 5 to 15 minute video segments. Patient assessment and airway pharmacology are two examples of current masterclasses. To learn more, including what current Academy members have to say, go to pharmacyjoe.com/academy. The article I'd like to discuss in this episode is titled Clinical Outcomes of Extended versus Intermittent Infusion of Piperacillin Tazobactam in Critically Ill Patients, a Prospective Clinical Trial. The lead author is Xunyin Fan, and this was published in Pharmacotherapy November 2016. Extended infusions of piperacillin tazobactam are widely used, but are based largely on common sense, like better time above MIC should mean better outcomes, and retrospective data analysis. The authors of this study sought to determine whether critically ill patients receiving extended infusion piperacillin tazobactam would have improved clinical outcomes compared with patients receiving intermittent infusions. The trial was an open-label, prospective study that took place in a 22-bed intensive care unit in a regional hospital in Hong Kong. A total of 367 adults who had a diagnosis of either bacterial infection or neutropenic fever were assigned to receive piperacillin tazobactam as either a 4-hour extended infusion or a 30-minute intermittent infusion. The primary outcome was the 14-day mortality rate after initiation of piperacillin tazobactam. Secondary outcomes included in-hospital mortality rate, time to defervescence, duration of mechanical ventilatory support, length of ICU stay, and length of hospital stay. There was no difference in the 14-day mortality between groups. The extended infusion group did have a faster time to defervescence, 4 days versus 6, compared to the intermittent infusion group. Otherwise, there was no difference in any of the other secondary outcome measures between groups. A post hoc analysis was done that suggested a 14-day mortality benefit favoring extended infusion in patients with infectious organisms identified and also in those whom respiratory tract infection was diagnosed. The authors concluded both the extended infusion and non-extended infusion groups demonstrated similar 14-day mortality. Post hoc subgroup analysis revealed a mortality benefit in patients in the extended infusion group who had infectious organisms identified or were diagnosed with respiratory tract infections. It's very important to have prospective trial data that supports the idea of using extended infusions of piperacillin tazobactam. In that regard, this study can be used to affirm the decision of those that are already using extended infusion PIP-TAZ. If a hospital has not yet switched to extended infusion piperacillin tazobactam due to concerns with the quality of retrospective data, this study should prompt reanalysis of the risks and benefits to using extended infusion for piperacillin tazobactam. As always, it is inherently risky to rely on post hoc analysis to conclude risks of benefit or harm. Subgroup analysis that is not pre-specified can only be used to guide further study, not to claim a benefit. For this reason, I would only draw a conclusion of no difference between groups rather than superiority of extended infusion from this data. I do think that extended infusion becomes the most rational choice, even if it is no different than intermittent infusion, because it is associated with cost savings from using a lower amount of antibiotic. The drug information question for this episode is, how should a naloxone infusion be weaned? And my answer is, slow enough so that resedation or respiratory failure does not occur in case opioids are still on board. I cannot locate any official guidelines, studies, or recommendations on how naloxone drip should be weaned. Given a duration of action for naloxone of 30 to 120 minutes, I prefer to wean in increments of 0.1 to 0.2 milligrams per hour every 1 to 2 hours. While this may be on the slow side, it should prevent resedation or respiratory failure from occurring. If the patient's airway is protected and there's no risk of respiratory failure, I'd be comfortable turning the naloxone off without any weaning. For more about naloxone, you can listen to episode 25. And the resource I'd like to share for this episode is ToxNet, the Toxicology Data Network. ToxNet is a group of databases covering chemicals and drugs, diseases in the environment, environmental health, occupational safety and health, poisoning, risk assessment and regulations, and toxicology. It's managed by the Toxicology and Environmental Health Information Program from the National Library of Medicine. You can use ToxNet to find, among other things, specific toxic effects of chemicals and medications in humans or animals. ToxNet also provides links out to PubMed and to additional sources of toxicological information.